You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. For a Friday edition of All Marine Radio on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're having a good Friday so far. We are live from the Gaylord Convention Center in kind of the south end of Washington, D.C., on the east side of the banks of the Potomac River. It's a pretty incredible place if you've never been here. So, good morning to you from there. And this is a little bit, they've never had anybody broadcast live from the marathon before. So they were a little perplexed about, like, well, what do you do? What do you want from us? I'm like, all right. So yesterday was a little bit exciting. I'm not going to lie to you. But that's why you come early. And that's why you talk to people and you work the bugs out. So I want to thank Ashley, who runs the show with media stuff here for the marathon. She'd been very cool. She did not. And again, at convention centers, things like power cords. You want what? Well, wait a minute. Somebody's got to pay for that. And you know, and normally the media, there's an area that's set up for the media that has stuff like that. And so it got a little interesting yesterday. But, so show up this morning, and even today you don't know what's going to happen. Like, all right, somebody's going to see you, and they're going to say, wait, what's that? What is this All Marine Radio thing? So you get here early, which I did, and borrowed my son's car. I swapped cars with my son, Johnny Boy. And so Johnny Boy headed out to basic school. His car has Easy Pass on it, so I was advised to my friends. Kid in his Batman costume just rolled in here. Love that. Hi, I'm Batman. I don't think he's seen that one yet. But anyway, so roll in here early and met a woman who runs the National Guard Marathon team. So we were talking. I said, hey, do you want to be on the radio and talk about what you guys do? She said, not really. She said, but I'll have one of my runners be on. And so you're going to meet Mark Jones, former Marine. You know, there's a lot of Marines in the Guard, if you don't know that, because Marine Reserve units aren't everywhere. And people get out, and the Guard's got some interesting programs, whether you're doing special forces or other specialties, and they pay... I don't want to let this cat out of the bag, but they pay pretty good money. They pay pretty good money, the Guard does. So, so you're going to meet Mark Jones. So, introduce me to Mark Jones, former Marine, And he says, well, what's your program about? I said, oh, it's about the culture of the Marine Corps and post-combat related mental health. And he looks at me and he said, really? He said, man, I want to come on. He said, running saved my life from a dark place. I was like, awesome. Right? So that's, so I meet him. So you're going to get to meet Mark Jones this morning. Also met Ken Kunze. He's a major. He's with the Marine Corps Public Affairs. You're going to meet him. He'll give us kind of an overview of the whole weekend. There's all kinds of cool stuff going on. So he works with Ashley, and then you'll also meet. So I'm rolling around here, and I see this organization called Medals of Honor, and so I walk up and I said I look at the guy with glasses, and I said this is Ashley's right here. So let's say hi to everybody, Ashley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the expo at the Marine Corps Marathon.
Ashley's like the queen of it, by the way. So how are things going? You guys just did the opening, the grand opening. How'd it go?
We just had the expo opening ceremonies for the Health and Fitness Expo presented by Cigna. We had speakers from Cigna. We had Colonel Bentley, Sergeant Major Hensley, and our wheel starter, Herschel Woody Williams, sole surviving Medal of Honor from World War II, is here. So we're just really excited, and all of the runners are coming in now. We're expecting over 100,000 runners to pass through. We had 104,000 last year, so we're just really excited to get the marathon started off.
Wait a minute. What did I read that there was limited to 30,000? What's that?
That is 30,000 runners on event morning. But the expo is open to the public. Everyone from the area can come. We have all 30,000 runners coming, plus their friends, family, and the community comes here.
So how's it going?
It's going great. The doors just opened. There's 200 vendors, the Brook store. There's so much to see and do. The vendors are incredible, the sponsors, charities. So there's a lot to see.
You know what? Just walking around here, there's cool story after cool story. Every time you turn around, somebody with a cool story. And how long have you been doing this?
This is my first marathon, actually. But I've been with the marathon for a little while, so I'm very excited to experience it for the first time, but a little bit differently as a staff member. But it's just incredible. The team here, the leadership, the Marine Corps, everyone is just amazing.
Okay. It's called the People's Marathon. Why?
The People's Marathon, just because everyone has a story. We don't offer prize money, and everyone runs. The tagline is run with purpose, finish with pride. So it is truly that. And everyone has a story. We have 94 charity partners, and they are all, they have so many runners with the charities, and we have stories of the connection to the Marine Corps. Everything from weight loss to, there's just so many stories for each runner, and the runners are here to really compete for themselves or to compete for a charity or along those lines. So they're not here to win money. They're here to celebrate the Marine Corps. And
two people I'll interview today, one is named Mark Jones. He runs for the Army National Guard team, former Marine. And I said, well, you come on. He said, running saved my life. I'd love to. And because I said, well, all Marine Reg is about post-combat related mental health. And that's when he said, this saved my life. It got me out of a dark place. Yes. Okay. Hold on one second. We're doing on-air production. And then another woman, her name's Amy Cotta. She's with Medals of Honor. And they have like a bib that you pin on, but it has somebody who's been, who's fallen, who killed. Yeah, so I walked up, I introduced myself, and she said, to her husband, he wears glasses, I said, you look smart. And he said, my wife's the one in charge. Her son's a Marine. She started doing this on her own, and it got to be so popular, now they run a... So it's just like cool story after cool story after cool story.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of that. The charities and the sponsors are all incredible, and each team just has so much value and so much to share. Each individual runner is just incredible.
All right, I know you're a busy woman. Thank you very much. All right, and he's Woody. At noon, he's going to be here. Holy shit. No, he's big stuff. Thank you. In case you don't know, Woody Williams is not only the sole surviving Medal of Honor recipient from World War II, he is he fought on Iwo Jima, which was where he earned that medal. So that's what that long pause that you heard, that was her telling me I've set that up. So how cool is that? How cool is that? So, the gunner might just have got smoked out of here for the second day in a row. We shall see. All right. So, what else is going on today? So, you're going to talk about Mark Jones. Yeah, I walked up to Amy Cotta's husband, and they have this big booth, and I looked, and I said, hey, what is this? And he explained it to me. And I said, will you come on the radio and talk about it? She said, we handed over our son to the Marine Corps when he was 17, and that's when I started this. And I didn't know if her son had been killed. And so we talked for a minute, and I said, is your son still alive? And she said, yes. She said, I just started this because I was so moved by the things that I saw. And it became this thing that we've continued, and so it's awesome. And the Semper Fi Fund is here. There's this very, very cool, atmosphere, positive vibe in the air with all these people excited to run for purpose. To run for purpose. And you heard Kurt Knowles yesterday. If you listened yesterday, you heard him talk about running this thing five times in his life. Ran it every other year for about 10 years. And what it's like at the finish when you kind of head up the hill and towards the Marine Corps Memorial. And it is uphill, though. And all the Marines there, all the people there. Just a very, very, very cool event. Very, very cool event. So we're gonna bring it to you over the course over today. We'll be here tomorrow, and we'll be here on Sunday, the day of the marathon. So it's an incredible amount of fun, honestly, and so kind of wipes away the rest of life's, I don't know how you say it. What everybody we're watching TV this morning, more bombs, and trying to discern whether are these gestures. Is it in fact somebody who's really trying to kill people? And so I guess we will wait and find out. You know, it is the world we live in. Chuck Todd from Meet the Press. Tim Russert's, I won't say replacement because he's hardly that, but he's the successor to Tim Russert, said that don't discount the fact that it might be the Russians doing this. Which was interesting. I thought, well, that's the first intelligent thing I've heard that dude say in a long time. You know what? I mean, is that far-fetched? No. So all the theories I've heard so far is that it's some kind of conservative wacko, could be, some kind of liberal wacko that thinks that by doing this they'll activate more Democratic voters and make the Republicans look bad. So that's a theory rolling around. And then the third theory that Chuck Todd advances is that could be the Russians. So that in the news. You walk around, you just walk around this place, and you see all kinds of great stories. I've met a couple guys that are double amputees, that one's running, one's not, and this year, and you know, where they got injured, what year were they there, one in Iraq, one in Afghanistan, what are they doing with their lives now. And so it's very much in keeping with All Marine Radio, our mission, and what we do. Just this spirit that infects this place that's very, 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 very cool. So we'll be here throughout the course of the weekend bringing you the love from the Marine Corps Marathon. It's just an awesome vibe. And let me just tell you, it's incredibly organized. This is kind of like the fan fest. The runners check in here. And then, you know, then it's and this thing's open to the public. There's shoe vendors, there's art dealers, there's insurance companies, USAA, I can see their big sign. I can see Progressive Government. I can see Cigna, which is the major sponsor, smack dab in the middle. Then this, I went by the Semper Fi Fund and said hi to them, told them how much we love them, and they're going to hopefully come on tomorrow. So there's this incredible cultural event that celebrates the spirit of the Marine Corps, and that spirit that has touched all of us who've served in it. It's touched our families. It's touched our friends as well. No, not sadly, but in a good way, it's touched our friends. So we'll be here all weekend, and so whether you can join us live or you're gonna or listen to podcasts, we'll get these things up as quick as we can get them up. But very very cool development. Woody Williams. So we'll use this interview to set up a longer interview and talk to him. He is a Marine Corps legend. And flamethrowers on Iwo Jima, I want to say he took out about 5 or 6 machine gun bunkers throughout the course of a day. And, yep. So very cool stuff. We will we'll make this official and get the program going. It is Friday, so Whitney Houston sings the national anthem. This is dedicated to everybody that's here running this event, everybody here who is going to run in the event, and just the spirit of of the Marine Corps that imbues this event. You know, that's, and again, this Marine thing that grabbed a piece of all of us who served in it and caught our fancy as young people, and then as we served in it, got deeper and deeper into our skin and have seen the beauty of it, the intensity of it, the passion of it. This event is a celebration of all that. It's very cool. So, with all of that said, Whitney Houston sings the national anthem, makes it official. Good morning. And this is dedicated to the spirit of this event. It's very, very cool. And it'll be on display all weekend. And like I said, I just met this woman a little bit ago, Amy Cotta, and with Medals of Honor. And they run this event with somebody's name on their chest. When they're done, they take that medal and hand it to the family, that Gold Star family, to let them know that their son, daughter, husband, wife, whoever it was, has not been forgotten. I mean, how cool is that? It's just, you know, awesome. This is dedicated to that spirit.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask us what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident. Thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time. PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastard makes the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Yes. Do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country, we care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make them learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Pushing against difficult, challenging conditions and odds. And win.
Time for us to check the weather here on a pretty awesome Friday of All Main Radio. Currently in Quantico, Virginia, clouds in 47. It's supposed to rain today here. At least that's what I've seen in the news. Granbury, Texas, sunny in 53. 29 Palms, sun in 63. Camp Pendleton, clouds in 49. That means it's cold in California. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 75. In Iraq, in Al Asad, in the western portion of Al Anbar, 71 degrees under sunny skies, and about an hour and a half ahead of Iraq, further to the northeast, is Afghanistan. In the south-central part of Afghanistan, it is 77 degrees under clear skies early in the evening. And from the home base of Allman Radio, the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area, Southern California, 53 degrees under clear skies. Looking for a high today of 80 degrees, 78 tomorrow, and 76 on Saturday. So there you have it. That is a look at the weather. When we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, you're going to meet one of the active duty guys that is working on the event. His name is Mark Kunze, Major, and Mark will kind of walk us through what goes on here all weekend. He's running the event before. And so doing public affairs. So we'll give you kind of an overview of all the different events that really surround this thing, and pretty awesome. The marathon is a big deal, right? I've seen it from afar, and I've watched it grow. And again, when I was an instructor at the basic school, it didn't really impact us too much, and that was in 1990. But this is the 43rd running of the marathon, and so. Now, I want to say the basic school is sending 900 lieutenants to work at this thing. Yeah, how about that? And so, I guess what they say down there is you're either running in it or you're working it. One of the two. So now it's a big cool event. So we'll take a break. When we come back, you'll meet somebody who will kind of walk us through that, and then. At the top of the hour, we'll talk to the chef a little bit about eating for marathons. I'm not sure he knows anything about it, but we'll at least ask him and talk to him for a few minutes. And then 11:30 Eastern time, you're going to meet Mark Jones, former Marine, and he's a marathon runner. And he runs for the U.S. Army National Guard Marathon Team, and they're here running in this event. And he'll tell you what they do, but most importantly, he'll tell you about how running saved his life. So, very cool story. And then kind of an impromptu interview, Medal of Honor recipient Woody Williams, United States Marine Corps on Iwo Jima, will join us at 12:05. And then Amy Cotta. She is a Marine mom. She started an organization called Medals of Honor, and they run for fallen soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen. And so I would tell you this. If you're interested in having them run for somebody you know, send an email to live@allmarineradio.com. Give me the name of who you'd like them to represent. I need their rank, their branch of service, and if you have it, their date of death. And I'll fill out the little sheet that runners put on chest, and they will go ahead and they'll go ahead and run for them. So anyway, yeah, how cool is that? It's like way cool, right? So you have all these things going on like that here, and so you can see why. I'm a little geeked about it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you'll meet active duty major. His name is Mark Kunze, and we'll talk. He'll give us an overview of what's going on this weekend. So don't touch that dial. More of Allman Radio coming up next on a special Friday edition from the Gaylord Resort in south of Washington, D.C., on the east side of the Potomac River. Don't touch that dial.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nelson. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Take a seat, right over there, sat on the stairs, say or leave. The cabinets are bare, and I'm unaware of just how we got into this mess. Got so aggressive, I know we meant all good intentions. So pull me closer, why don't you pull me close? Why don't you come on over, I can't just let you go. Oh baby, why don't you just meet me in the middle?
I know, Mac, you used this bump of music yesterday, but overcome by events. So joining me is active duty major. His name is Mark Kunze.
Ken.
I need that.
Just testing
Mark's,
again.
Mark's coming on next hour. Before we hear from you, we have to learn about you.
Sure. Right?
So you're supporting us on active duty.
Yes.
All right. So what's your full-time job?
So I am the Comstrat officer, formerly known as Public Affairs, for Marine Corps Base Quantico. Quantico has the overview or the purview of the marathon itself. So the base commander is in charge of the director of the race answers to the base commander. So as the Marine Corps Public Affairs, I'm the uniform Public Affairs representative for the Marine Corps Marathon.
All right. So born and raised where?
Born and raised in southern Michigan, southwest Michigan, just north of South Bend, Indiana. I'm a Notre Dame fan, so I claim northern Indiana a little bit more, but still a Michigan boy.
A lot of controversy in Michigan football now. Jim Harbaugh went up there, and he can't beat Ohio State. He hates Michigan State. They hate him. Notre Dame beats Michigan, so you're probably not unhappy by all that.
Well, we have a split family. So my wife pretends to be a Michigan fan, even though she's not a fan of any football, really. She couldn't name a player or a coach, but she'll dig in if Michigan would beat Notre Dame. But her father, so father-in-law and a lot of family is Michigan, and then the other half's Notre Dame. So that's the rivalry back home.
Nice. That's a big one now. I mean, they're all pretty good football teams and pretty competitive. What? How does the Marine Corps get on your radar?
Just joining in general?
Yep.
So for the longest time, it wasn't. Through high school, I didn't even think about military. And then I got a good friend in high school. Senior year, he knew he was going to join. His uncle was in the military, so he knew he was going to join, and he just started picking on three of the good friends, every single day. You want to join the Marines? You want to join the Marines? And eventually I just said, what the hell? I didn't have the money to go to a nice college to do the things I really wanted to do, or I had no idea how I'd pay for it. So I said, hey, it's a great opportunity. And then three of us joined at the same time. They left before I did because I broke my ankle wrestling in high school. And then when I got to MOS school, he was there on his second year, and he was in the officer program. And I knew right away what I wanted to do. So I was a reservist enlisted, so I went back and just went right into the officer program, immediately talked to the, and 6 years later, I deployed to OIF-1 and did all that other stuff as enlisted, so it took a little longer than normal, and then I've been an officer ever since.
What was your MOS enlisted?
I was a heavy equipment mechanic, so diesel trucks and...
You know, as a grunt, you look at those MOS and go, like, what? And then you go to war, and you're like, where is the heavy equipment mechanic? Where is the diesel? Where's the diesel operator or the diesel generator mechanic? And these people who you like, you used to look at them like, you do what in the Marine Corps? Really? And then you go to war, and you're like, that guy's gold. That guy's gold. And so you get commissioned. What do you become?
It's right. My number one pick out of TBS was to be a PAO. So I got public affairs. And I've been there. I've done some other cool things. I got to, when I deployed to Iraq as an officer, I was actually an intel advisor. So the chief of staff of the 1st MOG at the time said, I got two billets and I got two Marines. And I was a lieutenant at the time. He said, you want 6 months on the Syrian border doing logistics, or do you want a year-long billet as an intel advisor? So I said, intel, I got a couple classes, really no training. We were also a small team in Iraq, so there was only 11 of us, and we had three trucks. And then after the lieutenant colonel and the major and the captain and everybody else outranked me, got what seats they wanted, I was the rear gunner as a lieutenant behind the 50 cal in the rear VIC. So it was that was a lot of fun.
Based out of where?
We were in Ramadi. So every day we...
In 2004?
No, this was 2009.
Okay. All right.
And then we just drove out to the Iraqi compound. It was like the division level. They were in charge of all of the border forces along Syria and Iraq. And I sat down with an Iraqi colonel and as a PAO and told him how to do intelligence.
That's awesome. Give me your give me a favorite PAO story.
Man, I was telling my kids the other day, they had no idea I have a cover signed by Iron Man, by Robert Downey Jr. So, I was blessed.
A Marine Corps cover,
a Desert Marine Corps cover.
That's a hat for everybody else.
Yeah,
so that baseball-looking hat that Marines wear, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I was totally surprised. Paramount Pictures called my office. And, well, I was blessed to go to Camp Pendleton, and I was made the media officer of the base. That was my first billet. So every phone call for anything Southern California came through me. We did, all kinds of stuff. One of the two great stories. Yeah, they called my office and said, the movie Tropic Thunder is coming out. We want to debut it on a military base. So I said, hey, great, let's do this. And was able to set up civilian helicopters coming into the... to the airfield, and then we got Humvees to pull up and pick them up, and you know, Marines that don't typically get to do anything exciting got to be their drivers and drove them to the base theater, and I basically escorted them the entire way. It was like my first national quote as a PAO.
Nice.
And then we just hung out in the back with Robert Downey Jr., Jack Black, and Ben Stiller in the waiting for the base commander to call him up on stage, and I just hung out with him for 5 or 10 minutes talking and hanging out, and then I gave him my cover, my hat, and they because that was all I had. I had a pocket full of Sharpies for them to sign autographs on their way up to the thing, and by the time we got there, I had one left and I had nothing else for them to sign. So I pulled the Sharpie out and I pulled my cover off and said, "Hey, you guys want to sign this?" And they were like, "Sure." So they all signed it. My kids love that. Then my other best one was when Larry the Cable Guy was doing his show Only in America with Larry the Cable Guy.
Right.
Basically just drove him around Camp Pendleton all for an entire day. And he just a hilarious guy.
Is he a cool guy?
Oh, he was so laid back and just cool with everything he was doing. Super friendly, the easiest guy to get along with. He's cracking jokes the entire time. We took him to the, he ran an O course, and we found a couple of female, one was a female martial arts instructor and another female that was in my office. And he did some martial arts with them. It was kind of funny skit because they were both small girls and he was huge. And then we took him out to an artillery range. With the mortars. So he got to take the mortars out of the box, unscrew the caps, and hand them to the Marine that dropped them in the tube.
Right.
And then we took him to Red Beach off Camp Pendleton there. And we pull up to an AAV that's parked because he was going to go into the surf in an AAV, and he had no idea what it was. And we pull up, and he said, "What's that?" And I said, "Well, that's a 22-ton tank that we're going to drive you into the ocean with." And he pretty much kind of turned white, and he was suddenly not funny anymore.
Really?
The comedy was just gone at that, because he actually tried to talk the producers out of not doing it. He was getting like claustrophobic before he even went into the AAV.
Did he do it?
He did it. Yeah. Well, I walked up to him and I said, "Hey," I said, I think his real first name is Dan, and I said, "Hey, Dan, I said, it's like a bass boat. I mean, once you get inside, I mean, it's a little rough when you hit the first wave." I said, "But then it just kind of cruises out like a bass boat." And so he got in there, and I think one of the best jokes of the episode was when he was sitting in there, he's looking at the Marines, and he said something about sweating like a $2 hooker on Dollar Night or something. I can't remember what it was, or a stripper. He made the joke on the show, and it was pretty funny. But because he was really, like, I came out of fear, not out of, like, right. him making right. jokes during the rest of the show. Which was
actually much funnier.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you could just see the emotion in it. And, he got out, he came back, he was like, "Yeah, you're right, it wasn't that bad." So after they hit the surf and he realized it was good, he was fine after that.
Yeah, and you were standing on the beach with your fingers crossed, right? "Please, don't have anything go wrong with this."
We had already put plenty of people in, though, so I knew they'd be all right.
All right, let's talk about this weekend. I've never been to this event.
Yeah.
There is an incredible, I don't know, what would I call it, aura?
Yeah, absolutely.
Positive thing that you feel when you walk in and you start bumping into people.
Yeah, so if anyone else that has run an event, marathon, or other type of event where you have an expo and you come in and you get your packet pickup, anytime you do that, there's a great experience and an aura about it. You know, it's that build up to race day. And I know, I ran the last four in a row. So this is my first one working, and the last four, actually to get out of working, which is probably a worse decision, I decided to run them. Especially last year, I was hurting at mile 12. But so this expo is a little extra. Exciting because, you know, the first thing they see when they walk in a Marine. So they're young Marines in uniform at the bib counters that give them their bib. So the first thing they do is see Marines. So that kind of gives them that Marine Corps experience from day one, from right in the beginning of the expo. And I think that's part of what sets the Marine Corps Marathon apart, aside from, you know, the Marines on race day. The kids are on Saturday, which is also awesome with the Marines as well.
All right, so let's walk through the weekend. This is open for registration today, and yep. The expo, it'll be open again tomorrow. Tell everybody, so walk us through kind of the weekend. How does it flow?
Yeah, so we just kicked off with the opening ceremony, and then as soon as the opening ceremony kicks off, it's really open the doors, and people come in and grab their bibs and their shirts and their packets and their, you know, anti-chafe cream and their nipple band-aids, all those really important things, the little gel packs, and then hang out here. I roll into the press conference. Last night was the Warriors Cup dinner, so the running teams from U.S. and a British running team had a suit and tie dinner last night. And then we'll as we roll through the rest of today, we've got a press conference, and then tonight's big event is the Hall of Fame dinner. So all the Hall of Fame runners, so we have a the Marine Corps Marathon has a Hall of Fame for all the runners, and they are going to induct them all in an official-ish capacity tonight. So they'll get medals, and we'll have a Hall of Fame induction ceremony. I think they'll do them again next year and things like that. So some of the runners that have run out, I think the last runner, Al ran, we call him the ground pounder. He has run every single race up until last year, so this year he couldn't, he's not going to run. He'll be here, he'll be part of that ceremony and some others. We've got Catherine Switzer. She was the, there's a famous picture from Boston. She was the first female to register. I think she registered under her first initial in her last name, and that was when they wouldn't allow females. I think it was in the 40s, maybe in the 60s. I can pull up it. But she, there's a famous picture of the race course guy pulling her off the race because they didn't want her to run. I guess she and her boyfriend stepped in and helped her finish the race, and she actually finished the race, and so she was one of the first. I think it was another female who did that. But she had a really famous picture. So she's going to be here. She's going to brief. It's really inspiring for, you know, a lot of female runners. Because what you'll notice here is there's a lot of female runners. I think growing numbers. And especially for the Marine Corps Marathon, for the other series in the Marine Corps Marathon race, you know, it's a huge part of it. And then kids down to the age of 14. But we have the Hall of Fame dinner tonight. And then tomorrow is, again, the expo doing the same thing, but then the kids run. So the kids run is in the Pentagon parking lot. It's a one-mile fun run. Overseen by Marines, so there's going to be Marines all over the place. The Marines that are there have a great time. A lot of them, will take off their blouse and they'll go boots and utes, and they'll run. I think there's nine laps, so they'll run a mile, and some of the Marines will do it over and over and over again with the kids. So they'll end up getting a 9 mile run by the, you know, in 1 mile chunks by the end of the day. But they have a blast doing all those things. And I took my kids to it, not last year, I think 2 years ago. So we did 2 years in a row, and they had just an amazing time. Like they love the run, they love the mascots, they love all they kind of get their own little experience as well. Right. So they can come in here and the kids can get their bib and the kids get this experience as well. And when they go over there and run, and they're running with the Marines and they're just having a great time, that they're all happy except for the kids that you can tell their parents made them come. There's about 25% of the kids that just aren't so happy. But there's some really competitive kids who will run fast. They'll run that mile pretty quick. So that's fun. The Marines that go there just say they love.
And then this expo is open from what are the hours of the expo?
Trying to remember that.
My guest is the active duty component of this event, Major Ken Kunze. He's a Notre Dame fan, so he's going to stay on the program as long as he wants.
Yeah, it's 1800. 1800 is when it closes tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's open up at 1000 to 1800.
Yeah, it's 08. 08 tomorrow.
So 1800. To 1800. So.
Yeah, and it's 1900 tonight.
So, and let me tell you, very, very, very cool stuff here. Very, very cool stuff. So that takes us through Saturday. Let's talk about Sunday.
Well, the last event Saturday, I didn't say, was the carbo dining in. So a bunch of the runners will come in and get all their carbs and have a dinner. But then, yeah, Sunday morning, the Marines are up at, so the roads begin close at 3:30. So we
in the morning.
The D.C. and all the local municipalities that are in charge, their police and fire and certain emergency services are closing the roads at about 3:30. So we have to be in place by 3:30. So we'll be at, so 03 is really the start of our day. We'll be setting everything up. That's when the security perimeters are all in place, and we're beginning to work with the other police and fire and making sure that the race is safe. Everything's being monitored from there on in. And then throughout the morning, the Marines are in place all through the water points and all across the course. There'll be a flyover from HMX-1. Obviously, weather permitting, I think weather should be fine for them. They've flown over in the green presidential Ospreys in the last couple of years, so that's pretty cool. They come in really close. And then another plane.
And when you say coming close to where? The start point?
They'll fly right over the start line. So they're going to fly right over.
And just tell everybody, where is the start point?
So the start point is just behind the Pentagon. So it's just past the Pentagon. Yeah. So between the Pentagon and the Iwo Jima War Memorial. I'm terrible with roads. I named the road back.
No, that's the rough part of D.C.
Yeah, so the runners will come in the Pentagon parking lot, and then I think it's just the south part. Yeah, they'll come in the Pentagon parking lot, and then they'll just kind of migrate just past the parking lot and then onto the road, and that's where the start line is.
And again, if you look at a picture of the course runs up and down both sides of the Potomac, right, down through the mall and back. I mean, really, all over smack dab D.C. And so it's, when you talk about closing roads, it's not an insignificant
event. Oh, no, it's a mess.
Don't
plan on coming to D.C. during the Marine Corps Marathon, especially, after or until, like 1900. Because they close down, they open it up in phases as the race progresses. You have a limited time to get to the bridge, to beat the bridge section, which is great. And then if you're not, then they open it up. So it's about noon that the D.C. gives us the cutoff. We don't say the runners can run this fast. D.C. says, you will run this fast and we will close the roads or else.
Or you'll get run over.
Yeah, or the roads will be open and you'll be running with traffic. So, yeah, they shut it down and then park police.
It reminds me of the curfew in Fallujah.
Yeah.
I remember one night some special operators said, hey, at 05, they had to be off the road between, I want to say, 2200 and 05 every night. And then at 05, though, the city comes alive. And so at like 4:40, they were not done with an event, and they call the RCT5 COC, and they said, Mac, you've got to extend the curfew. And I said, boys, you better get your ass out of there, because there's no way we could do that. And so D.C., same kind of philosophy. You guys better be done, and because the city's moving.
No, absolutely. Yeah, the city moves. The city is awesome. I mean, but at the start, the Commandant kicks off the full, and then Woody Williams. He's the last remaining, last surviving Marine Corps World War II Medal of Honor recipient. So he's been here. He was here. He's here this morning.
A legend.
Just inspirational. 95. He's walking around like a 40-year-old. He's great. And he'll kick off the.
And so what time does the marathon actually?
Right around 8 o'clock. Right around 08. 7:55, I think, is the official start time. So,
okay.
And then 5 minutes before is when the. When they start the wheelchair section starts then. So that's what Woody will fire off the wheelchair section, and the Commandant fires off the actual race.
And how do we start? Do we start with an artillery piece, a shotgun?
So they have an artillery piece, but then the starting pistol actually starts it. So the Commandant will fire the starting pistol after the artillery for the salute that they fire off. It actually goes across the road, so you know where the runners. The runners running across it. It's just like a powdery thing, so it's not too big of a deal.
Cool.
But yeah, it'll.
No,
they don't want runners running through that as it goes.
Not too many marathons do that. So walk us through. So it's about what, 4 or 5 hour duration of the run?
Yeah, it's depending on your speed. I mean, obviously the fastest runners are coming in at like 2:30 or so. Or maybe a little under that. You could obviously get some elite guys that are getting closer to 2 is a possibility. But I think the bulk of them come in. I think 3.5-4 hours to 5.5 is when just the masses are coming through. I ran it the last 4 years in a row, so it's a really great course.
Your favorite part of the course is what? I've had a couple guys on this week talking about their favorite part of running it,
I think there's a couple. So it depends on I think what the Blue Mile is pretty awesome. It's really solemn, but it's quiet. So
explain the Blue Mile, doesn't it?
Yeah. So the Blue Mile is about mile 12, and it's lined with photos of fallen service members. And they're all blue frame photos, so for a mile evenly spaced out are photos of these surfers. So runners, the teams and stuff, they'll stop and they'll get pictures by them. A lot of some families and stuff will be there to take pictures of the teams that are actually running for these fallen rows. So that's really solemn. It is quiet, so some people like it because of that. Once you get out of there and you turn the corner and you head into the national, basically the mall. You're about to enter the mall. That's when the ruckus starts. That's just, there's people everywhere. There's the spectators, just huge masses of spectators, and you're at you're basically past a half marathon at that point. So that's where you're like, you know, if you've ever run a half marathon before and that hurt, you're like, crap, I have to double the, what I, you know, I think the first time I ran it was, the farthest I'd run was a half marathon, but I think I ran a little longer in a training run, but that, you know, that was my pace. And I'm like, you know, I have to double, you know, one of the longest runs I've ever run before, right now. So it was, but as soon as you turn the corner and there's people, you know, and the city of D.C. is awesome, and you're running towards the Capitol, and you're running by the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial. It's just, yeah, it's just an awesome sight, and that really pumps you up. And then you get to the bridge, and that's just a total defeat. The bridge is it's a little over a mile. It's like a mile and a half. They added it. They had to add water this year. I think it's more than a mile and a half with the rest of the off ramp and everything else. But it's kind of between water points, and it's one of the farthest distances, I believe, between water points in the past. So you get up there and you're just dying. So they put a water monster on there that you actually walk up and drink, or fill your own Camelbacks or whatever you got. Which is a help, because that they call it Beat the Bridge for a reason, and that's usually where people are hurting. The first year I walked most of it, and a lot of people walk it. It's just where people start walking at. It's about 18 or 19 miles, you know. So you're coming into 20 miles and you're just hurt. That's the spot. I had to stop and stretch and massage my calves. It was just, yeah, just killer. The following year I ran with a friend, and her and I, we paced each other. She slowed me down in the beginning, which is great, and then at the bridge she wanted to stop, but I was like, no. I walked it before, I'm not going to walk it this time. And we ran the whole thing, which is shocking, but we did, and that was our best time. And then last year I ran it, and the bridge was painful. When you come into Crystal Cities also, there's a lot of people as well, but sometimes you're hurting so bad you don't even, you just forget. You know, there's a lot of people there, and you just know you're embarrassed because you're walking. But there's a lot of people walking with you, so don't. So that's not.
So talk to me about the end. Is it easy as you're going up the hill? You see the memorial there. Can you still feel your legs at that point? How are you?
So
tell me about that.
I've always been the type to you know, like when I'm running PFTs and things, I can. I just have a little bit in the tank for a sprint, and what I did, what I basically promised myself every single time I ran it, was when I turned the corner to go up the hill, or maybe a little bit before that, when the finish line crowd sees me coming, I'm going to be running, and I'm going to run through the finish line. So I've ran up the hill and through the finish line every time, and what I've heard some people, they don't know, and it's not that bad of a hill, but it's. At 20 miles, yeah, after 26 miles, you're. So when they turn
in, it doesn't have to be that much of a hill.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of people that hill just, they're just like, you know, practically crawling up it, and they'll, you know, they'll turn that corner, and then that hill just sucks, and it's still a little bit uphill on end. So you know they will they'll completely you know, maybe shut off, but that's where it becomes, you know, really awesome, because once you cross that finish line. Especially for, you know, the civilians and non-Marines, we have runners from like 64 countries running it this year. We had 67 that signed up, so they're all over the world. A lot of folks, this is their first race, and this may be the first time they've ever met Marines. So when they come through the finish line and they line up, you know, the commandant will be there for a lot. He's typically there shaking hands for a long time. The base commander, you know, myself and my counterpart in the past has been out there. So we got a bunch of Marines right there at the finish line, and then they get in the lines, and then a lieutenant will actually put the medal around their neck and congratulate them. So they get a personal little treat when they get that medal.
That's awesome.
And that really helps. A lot of people are, you know, pumped when they get that medal, and then they, you know, kind of walk through the rest of the experience. And,
do you have a favorite part of the weekend?
You know, I this being my first time working it, I think the Medal of Honor dinner tonight's going to be pretty awesome, or the award ceremony dinner is going to be the Hall of Fame.
Good.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty cool tonight. I got to wear my dress blues with white trousers, so
nice. I'll
try to keep them clean.
Exactly.
So I have to wear like four uniforms this weekend, so they got me in everything. But yeah, that's going to be that'll be pretty cool. If I get to the kids run, we've got a big staff lot going on, but the kids run is always awesome. It's always awesome watching the kids run around, and then just seeing people and shaking their hands and them being grateful to be here and be able to run the Marine Corps Marathon is awesome.
Awesome, awesome. Ken, tell everybody where they're looking for information about the marathon and they want to track it or just check it out. Where do they get information?
Yeah, there's a couple great things. Obviously, Marine Corps Marathon. I think it's MarineCorpsMarathon.com is the website. And then there's also an app, and the app is called MCM Mobile. So MCM Mobile has all the maps, has track a runner. So if they jump on MCM Mobile, they you know, go on iTunes and App Store and they download MCM Mobile, they can easily look at all the maps. They can it actually loads through a map app, so it's not just a static map. And then they can track runners. So if they know somebody, you can look them up and watch them as they run. I think someone said that the app had a low rating, but they typically after last year it ran through race weekend and they popped the results, and then the app just sat idle until a few weeks ago. So maybe people are mad that they didn't update it for this year's. But they put a lot of work into it to update it, so it's got a lot of great information. People download it and look. My wife and kids from home were tracking me on the app the last couple of years I ran. So obviously my kids like to sleep in, I didn't care to wake them up and have my wife drag them out somewhere along the course with the traffic. So they just slept in and then woke up and my wife was tracking me on the run, and it was just easier for me, to get up here. The metro is definitely the way to go. The one tip I like to tell everyone, if you're coming up for race day, and you're going to take the metro, buy your ticket before race day, because the longest lines are the lines to get to the ticket machine and get your ticket. You'll wait longer than that and anything else. So that's been my my experience for the last couple of years.
Interesting.
Yeah. The one year I got them, I was able to breeze right through and get out. And then last year, it was like cash only. It was such a pain at the machine, and my cash was wet because it was.
What a nightmare.
Got sweaty. It was like 30 or 40 minutes just trying to get tickets to get out. So it was an interesting experience.
First of all, Ken, thanks for sitting down and kind of giving us the overview. We're going to get a chance to talk to runners and people that are here as sponsors, and then going to get a chance to talk to Woody Williams. So pretty exciting day for us, and thank you for helping me out and getting everything hooked up here and all your graciousness. So thanks for being an awesome host.
Awesome. No, thanks. Yeah, I'm off to help set up the media.
Yeah, they just left.
The press conference, and then I got to change in my chucks and wear those, and then I'll change my blues later tonight. It's a great time. If anybody, you don't have to be a runner to come out and enjoy the expo. You go through the screening, you can walk through and see everybody else. So it's a really cool experience, and there's goodies too. So if you ever been to an expo, you get like NBC hands out bags, and they got all kinds of little knickknacks and
there's cool stuff. All kinds of cool stuff to buy. There's artwork here. There's organizations that are great organizations relative to the Marine Corps, like Semper Five Fund, and you can get their T-shirts and gear and all kinds of stuff. It's just this incredible, cool focus on things Marine, things helping veterans, artwork, runners, all kinds of cool stuff. So if you're into any of that, which I think most of us are,
absolutely,
come on out.
Yeah, the one of the apps they have one of the booths is the like the handmade wooden flags. That's a pretty cool booth.
I walked by that. I was like, I didn't see any prices. I said, maybe I should wait.
Yeah, where's the $20 one? I want to buy the $20. Yeah, does that exist? Those are awesome flags, but you gotta go hit the ATM machine and grab some of those.
All right, Ken, thanks for the visit.
Yeah, thanks a lot, and we'll see you around this week.
There you go. That is major type Ken Kunze from Michigan. And he's a Notre Dame fan, so we like that about him. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to the Almond Radio chef. We're going to talk about marathon running and cooking. Not so much running, because he's not much of a runner, but feeding marathoners. And we'll talk about that. And then at the bottom of the hour, you're going to hear from Mark Jones, who runs for the Army National Guard marathon team. But he's a former Marine. He's going to tell a story about how running saved his life. We focus a lot about the post-combat related mental health here, and Mark's got a story to tell you, and so that'll be cool. And again, if you haven't heard, Woody Williams is going to join us at noon Eastern time, and then after that you're going to hear from Amy Cotta. She runs an organization called Medals of Honor, and they have kind of the running placards. But on that placard is the name of a fallen warrior. and they then send those, the medals that people get, and they send those to the families so that families know that their loved one is never forgotten. So don't touch that dial. More of Online Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the iWarrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.